Welcome back, guys, to our No Quitters podcast with Dan Ray.
And Vinny Salcido.
Right. And today, Marco Soto.
Today we have Marco Soto right here. He's very big in the baseball industry, guys. He has a great story, came from nothing, and is building an empire as a Latino in the community, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Marco, mind telling us, how did the making of Marco Soto and your glove company begin?
Well, it all started with my grandfather. See, so again, I tell everybody the same story. I tell them that we were in the cowboy business, making saddles, chaps, whips, everything for cowboys, and it was leather itself. So everything was handmade. One thing led to another. A very wealthy man in Mexico approached my grandfather. We're talking many, many years ago, and told him, "Hey, since you already make my saddles and chaps and everything for all my horses, why don't you make a couple of baseball gloves for my twin boys?"
Whoa, that's a big change. Like, you're making something and else comes something completely different.
But here goes the thing, though, you see. My grandfather was very cautious, but I would say kind of like scared to make a move. You know, he would literally need to see it to make that change, right? But the person that was never scared was my grandmother.
Okay.
She's the one that was never scared. Wow. If anything, she's the one that would say, "Mira, you got to see this, you got to see that, and don't you see this? It's much better." And they'd be like, "You know what? You're right." And that's when you see my grandfather take charge. Wow. But he needed that push.
Right.
That positive push.
That confidence, and that you can do it.
And that was all the time. And anything they did together, it was her. It's almost like he's the tree, he's falling, she'll be like, "Here.
I don't think so.
Go forward.
Get back to it."
If we fall, we fall together.
Oh, wow.
And if we don't, we'll still be fine.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
Either way.
So together and all, they had 18 kids.
Wow.
The majority were girls. Mm-hmm. And the boys were all working in the warehouse, doing all the chaps. And when this wealthy man, like I said, approached them and said, "Hey, you already do all this. I need you to make me a couple of baseball." He says, "I have no idea how to build gloves.
Uh-huh.
I could build you this, but gloves is not my thing."
Uh-huh. Right.
"Charge me whatever you want. Just figure it out." So he goes home and all quiet and all like thinking. Anselmo, well, my grandmother called him Chemo. For Anselmo, "Chemo, what's wrong with you?"
She immediately noticed his energy.
At that point, after that many kids and being together that long, you got to know each other.
Of course.
Yeah. So told them what's going on and this and that. "How do I do that? Where do you need to go to find out?" "I guess the only closest place will be Mexico City." So Palomares, and I mentioned Palomares because Mr. Palomares was the gentleman that actually taught my grandfather
how to make
leather goods. The whole thing. How to make the gloves.
Oh, the baseball gloves.
This gentleman wasn't so, in reality, when you go to a restaurant and ask him for a recipe and say, "Hey, you know what? Your restaurant is always so full because of this recipe. Can you give me the secret?" They're not going to give it to you.
No.
Mr. Palomares wasn't like that.
Yeah.
"You want to learn how to make gloves?" He says, "Yes, I'll pay you or whatever. Can you teach me?" "You don't have to pay me. You just have to work for me. And I'll show you." So he went.
Talk about all the stars aligning, you know?
Wow.
He taught him. He came back to Zacatecas and probably built the two most ugliest baseball gloves ever in the world.
You guys still have those?
One.
Oh.
Really?
One. We have his sewing machine in the same corner with his photo and that one of the gloves.
How does it look?
I mean, it's really bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, but those kids were happy as
hell. Oh, so let me tell you.
Kind of like an E.T. glove.
So to build one saddle, it was 1,500 pesos, 15,000 pesos. Uh-huh. Back in the days, now it's 1,500 pesos.
Right, right.
It would take you about 15 to 20 days to make it, one saddle. It took them 3 hours to make these two gloves. And he went and said, to ask my grandma, "How much should I charge him?" 1,500 pesos.
What?
That's like the price of a saddle. He said, "Whatever you want. Now go tell them 1,500 pesos." So he went and said, 1,500 pesos per glove. And the kids put them on and were like, the dad saw them, they were happy. He says, "Here.
Here's the money."
Took them 3 hours to build two gloves that charged the same amount of money, that took them 20 days to charge the same amount of money for a saddle.
For one.
He goes home and shows the money to my grandma and goes, "I know what I want to do now." So they switched around.
Wow.
Wow.
So having all those boys, my uncles, we have Ramiro, Reynaldo, y Rogelio. So the three R's,
yeah,
we call them.
Uh-huh.
They're the best master glove makers ever. My tio Ramiro's passed on, but the other two are retired, but they're very intelligent when it comes to building of gloves.
Sharp.
Very sharp. So I'm the third generation, like cousins my age that are like 50 and under, and they say 40 to 50, that's the third generation, but we already have the fourth generation that are their kids, already started straight from high school, straight from junior high school. They're there relacing gloves or cutting or learning something because they want to be there. So
they're learning it.
The fourth generation is already working.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow. So this completely changed
everything.
Your dad or grandfather stopped working as hard for 20 days to make one saddle, started making gloves. Now, did it pick up right away for him?
No.
No.
They kept doing saddles. They had to.
Okay. Because that was their business.
It was kind of a transition.
It was slowly. But as soon as they started, back in the days, the gloves have changed so much from back in the days to now.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days, they had no padding and people had nobody to complain to.
No.
If you build a new generation glove that pretty much catches the ball by itself these days, there's still somebody that would want to complain, right?
But yes.
You got to be there to give them 100.
There's a place to complain.
Oh, that's us. They come and say, yeah. Hey, Mr. Soto, it hurts now. Can you put more padding? So we'll take it apart and put more padding.
Wow.
But we know how to do all that stuff. We could do all that right here in Signal Hill, Long Beach.
So that's when your grandfather got started with making gloves. Now tell us about how he made your first glove and where you were at what age.
So I was turning 14. I was going to go to high school. And we were every time for school vacation, my dad worked in construction. He would take that whole month off and we would be in Mexico for a whole month. And so when I showed up, you know, grandfather would line us up and ask us all, what position you play? Third, pitcher, outfield, first, catcher. It's just, he will have our uncles build us a glove, literally for us to watch. I mean, I'm talking, there's cousins older than me now, some that are younger than me, but nobody had that vision, that click. I was only 14 years old. I was about to, and I'm watching my tio Reynaldo embroider. And we're not talking an embroidery machine. Embroidery machine, you punch buttons and it embroiders for you.
Yeah, yeah.
He would do it freehand on the sewing machine and embroider my name, Marco Soto.
Freehand.
And I'm watching him do this. And I'm watching him cut the leather. And, tio, can you make it black with this here and this here? Yeah, mijo. Really? Like, and then he's putting it together from nothing, from just a piece of leather.
And all this is happening in Mexico.
Yes, I'm watching this.
Right.
He's on his vacation over there.
Yeah. Yes, I'm on vacation over there. So we always were playing either baseball, because there was no soccer balls around.
Uh-huh.
It was just baseball stuff. And then horses and in the warehouse watching them and playing like kids. But I'm watching my uncle, and he gets it done and says, here you go. And I just, when I saw all that and I see it, it's at that moment that at that age, my head just clicked and says, you know how many kids would want a glove like this? When I get back to Poly High School, here I am. I pull out my glove and it says Soto on the back end with my name on it. And all these kids have, you know, the brands.
Like Rawlings and
the big brands.
Wilson.
Right? And they're huge. And they said, how come it says Soto on your glove? Like, what brand is it? Soto. Your name? I said, well, that's my grandfather's name. And they all started talking in the way and everything, and Coach Munger, Ken Munger, comes up and says, they're asking, can they get a glove like that made with their name on it? I said, you know what, Coach? Let me ask Mom. Now, my mom, not the daughter of my grandfather, but loved her very much. I said, Mom, we need to call Grandpa. I got home, and we called him. How many do you think? Probably about 40, 50. No problem. Tell them that this is what I'm going to sell it to you, son, and you're going to sell it to them for this. What do I do with that money in between? It's yours. What? It's your money. I said, okay. I'm in. Let's do it. So,
the business started.
That's how it all started.
And you were 14 years old.
14. Yes. Unbelievable.
So my first sales was to Poly High School. 4 years later, the second biggest sale was to Long Beach City College, where I ended up playing ball. And it from those two schools, from all those kids, it spreads. these kids go here, they go there, they go everywhere. And little by little, that glove is somewhere at a ball field somewhere. And they start connecting dots. I thought it would just explode from that moment, but it didn't. You know, I got married, kept playing ball, kept going with the business. I made flyers. I made business cards. I was doing everything I could to advertise. But it was easy when you know the people, like the high school kids. Yeah. They knew me.
Yeah, yeah.
My college friends knew me. But anybody outside of that did not know us.
Yeah.
They don't know who it is. They know the big names.
Yeah.
As I'm going to parks and coming up to you as a coach or you as a coach, I'm like, hey, coach, how you doing? Marco Soto with Soto Gloves. Can I give you a card? I says, and I had a bag with five gloves and all. Let me show you what I'm, what are they? Soto Gloves. Not interested. Oh, they either drop it in my face. The situation where it literally started wasn't with the high school and the college. It was at La Habra Heights Little League.
Okay.
It's an area where the housing is very beautiful. It's a very nice area. I live in La Habra, not La Habra Heights. And I rented an apartment that was a single bedroom apartment that was, back in the days, was expensive. I don't even imagine how much it is these days just to live in that one bedroom apartment. But I found out about that league and I walked over there and I went, tried to talk to the president of the league, and he kicked me out. He says, get out right now before I call the police, because people like you always start ripping people off. And I said,
unbelievable.
And when he said that, was that he referring to you as people like you, like a Latino, or people that just trying to sell something?
I don't think it was about the selling at that point. I really felt it was more about the Latino.
Discrimination.
As I passed out flyers in every single car. I think maybe out of, I don't know, hundreds of cars, maybe one flyer was taken home. The rest were on the ground.
They were thrown.
So I had this phone number I started with that if you call that same number, it's still the same number.
Same one.
Same number. I've never lost it. Now, it took a year and 3 months for that phone to ring one time. I was right here on my sofa watching the game and my son in his little walker thing, like, you know, bumping into everything. But I'm watching the Dodger game. And I don't know, from far away, I hear this ring. But my cell phone's here, so it's not my cell phone. And I hear this ring, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's ringing.
The phone.
I got up, and I'm like, whack. I'm like, Soto Gloves, can I help you? Now, you would think it's somebody that want to buy a glove. I'm excited. I'm excited. But it was La Habra Heights Police Department telling me that I needed to pick up every single flyer.
Or you're going to get in trouble.
Or I will be fined for $1,000.
For littering.
For littering. So here we go. My son and I put him in the stroller underneath the hazel basket. We get to the park. I said, I think they only took one flyer. The rest were on the floor.
Jeez.
So here are my son and I picking up every single flyer and throwing it underneath. If it was ruined, run over by wheels, I throw it away. If it was good, I said, I'm going to keep it, right? Use it again. As I'm basically going down the hill towards my car now to load up my son and everything.
You already had picked up all the flyers?
Pretty much. I mean, everything that I could see, right? Mm-hmm. But I did my best. This gentleman, probably, I don't know, 5'4". White American gentleman with twin boys. He says, hey, son, what are you selling? Baseball gloves. I didn't care. I was done.
You were
talking about not quitting, right?
Right.
At that point, I'm like, I've been doing this for a year and 3 months.
Once has that damn phone rang. The only time it rang was the cops.
La Habra Heights Police Department.
Right.
To pick up all my flyers. So
jeez,
I'm like, what am I going to do now? Just call Grandpa, tell him, meet at Grandpa. I couldn't do it. I tried. It's been a year and a half. And
that was roaming through your head.
Yes. Going down the hill. When that gentleman stops me, they're right there practicing. His boys were T-ballers, little guys. When they hit the ball, they run to third instead of first. Or they're making holes or watching planes go by. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's, what are you selling? And I'm like, baseball gloves. You don't even want to see them. You know, I'm literally
down and out,
demoralized.
Down and out.
No, completely.
Right.
Man.
You were demoralized, but not broken.
Yeah. I tell everybody that if he didn't stop me, I think this would have never happened.
Really?
Yeah. If I got to that truck and I loaded everything up, I was going to basically say, that's it. I did everything I could and I can't.
And here this guy shows up.
He was just, I was just going down the path to the parking lot. Hey. Although his field was right there. And this is, you know, the walkway going down to my car, to the parking lot. And he saw me. And then he says, hey, what are you saying? Like I said, I answer like that. I says, well, I want to see. Can you show me? You want to see him? No, I'm talking, I'm still confused. I'm early 20s.
Yeah.
So I'm not even thinking like, yeah, you want to see him? Let's go. You know,
and you're still
on experience. Yes. On experience. I didn't have a, oh my God, that should not be.
There it is.
There goes the guy.
Soto gloves.
Yeah, it is one of them, but I'll call back.
The cop.
So as he tells me, well, hey, I want to see him as I'm done with my practice. Can you please, you know?
Yeah.
Show me what you got. And I'm like, sure. So me and my son, like, literally sat on the bench, watched these kids practice and everything. When he was done, he brought up his two boys. I showed him the gloves. Do you have a business license, a business card? I says, no, sir. What about an order form or something to take down the order? I just write it down on a notepad, like a little notepad. I said, okay. I says, do you have a physical, like business address? I says, no, I'm working out of my single-bedroom apartment. Okay. All right, well, show me what you got. He skipped that and started showing them, and the kids got excited. He was more excited than the kids. The kids were only like 5 or 6, but they were excited. He was more excited. He says, look, how much is the glove? And I go, they're $100. You could pick out of these colors, only 3 colors, and we embroider your name, your number. We could do all that. And what about the size? We could make it the size of the boys. You could get a 9.5, 10, or 10.5 inch. That would be the best.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, perfect. I says, so you said $100 each? And I said, yes. Do you have a receipt you could give me? I said, no. I said, okay, well, let me show you. He gets out his business card, right? So he's a sheriff. He says, do you mind if I take a picture of your driver's license? Just in case.
Of course.
I said, not at all. So I showed him my driver. He took a picture. He says, this is where you physically live right now? Yep, single bedroom apartment right here in La Habra. How long is it going to take for me to get my gloves back for my kids? And I says, 1 month or less. I got them back in 2 weeks.
Wow. What are the odds, man? The cops call you.
And he gave you the money right there.
Right. He gave me the cash.
Watch. But the cops call him to go pick up his stuff.
Yes.
And then another cop, a sheriff.
Becomes your first client.
Yes. Stops you, like, hunts you. Hey, come here. What are you selling, buddy? And you're like,
I was not interested.
Wow.
I'm selling him anything.
And he became your first client. Talk about.
At that point, when he was just doing that.
Right.
Yes.
After a year and a half?
A year and a half.
Of no sales.
No sales. I was just working a regular job.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I got him his gloves. He was one of the board members connected with the guy that told me to get out. Or he will call the cops on me. This guy was the president of the league. He was just part of the board members. He's the one that saw his boys' gloves. And I got a phone call for the first time ever to that phone. That phone rang for reals this time. That was a real phone call sale.
What a story, man.
So when I answered that call, I answered Soto Gloves. It was the gentleman that
first told you, I'm going to call the cops.
I don't know who he is, because your voice over the phone could have been anybody. So I don't know who it is. I says, do you have a storefront? I go, no, I don't. So here I go telling this all over again. I says, where can we meet? I says, wherever. I says, you know what? Do you know where the McDonald's is off of Harbor Boulevard and blah, blah? I'm like, I do. Can we meet there? I'm like, sure. It was a Saturday morning. I'm inside this McDonald's. I went and bought something so they wouldn't kick me out. Here I sit in the farthest corner where they can't see me, and I got out the gloves and put them on the table.
Uh-huh.
Who walks in through the door was the man.
That guy.
Now, I'm not thinking it's him. I'm like, no, not this guy, please. He comes up to me with his three boys, different ages, a big, tall, white American guy, and says, no hard feelings? You're the one that called me? I said, I'm here. No hard feelings. Have a seat. So I order the three gloves for his boys to my grandfather. I'm excited now because this is the fifth glove, right? I call my grandpa. He says, Bendy, I sold 3 more, grandpa, and this and that. He's excited. I'm like, good for you, mijo. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. Everything's going to be fine. I got the 3 gloves back in about 2 weeks also. He says, I'm the president of the league. How would you like to set up at the opening day ceremonies. We're going to advertise. We're going to let people know. Now I know that you're a guy that's trying to do the right thing.
Talk about no quitting, guys.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So I'm working delivering beer at that time. I was a beer driver delivering beer. I made good money. Yeah. I didn't make bad money. It was good. I had a Class A driver's license. I went through all those steps as a 21-year-old kid just to find something good for myself, right? And the day that I set up on a Saturday for opening day ceremonies, I sold probably three times as more than I would make as a beer driver in one day in something that I love to do and something that was fun. So here I am. I go home, and then I just start thinking. I'm like, I don't have to kill myself doing this, even though I like it.
Yeah.
But this is what I love to do right here. This is me. This is us. This is the family. And I just made three times more than what I would have made as a truck driver.
Yeah.
Right. See, something that you said is very interesting, right? Because you made not 1 cent, right? You had not one call in 1 year, 3 months,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what kept your drive going? Like, man, I still want to do this. I still want to do this. Because right now people are adapting this microwave mentality where they want shit like this. And if it doesn't happen, they're going to quit. Next thing you know, they're doing something completely different and it doesn't happen again. And they quit and they just keep on changing. It's the cycle, right?
Yeah.
But you went for a year. You're already married. You have any kids?
Yeah, my son.
So you were married, had a
little
kid,
boy,
right? And 1 year, 3 months, nothing happening, right? What kept your drive going?
I would just basically just remember my family, my grandpa, my uncles.
Right. But what was the images that were going through your head? Like, I mean, so there's some meaningful things to you. Like I could put myself in your shoes and being 14 years old, watching my uncle Reynaldo, because I remember that because my dad's name was Reynaldo too, right? Doing some gloves, like hand, you know, like basically freestyle, right?
Freestyle. Right. I mean, everything was handmade, like people call it, except for the sewing of the machine. Mm-hmm. But you still got to use your hands for that. So what would go through my head is honestly is like, I always been the type of kid, and I don't know if you guys are business people, because I believe you guys are the same. It's like, I just can't start something until I either see it finish. Either you gave it all you got, and if you fail, you fail, but you gave it all you got. So then your mind and your heart is like, I did everything I could. It wasn't for me.
Right.
You see that right there, what you just said?
Uh-huh.
Until I see it functioning, that right there has been lost.
Exactly.
Right? I feel like in our generations, people don't do things until it works.
Yeah.
People just do things, it doesn't work, let's move to something different, right? That's the mindset that we got to start adapting again, because this is what develops a no-quitter mindset, right? Yeah. You start something and you do it until it works.
Until it works. Until it works.
And this is inspiring, because I mean, you have, here you are 20 years old, you have a wife, you have a kid, and you're following your dreams, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to know, like, what kept you driving besides that?
I would just, like I said, I was always remember my grandfather, my uncles, them knowing that now Soto Gloves is in the U.S. is a big thing, but it wasn't even in the U.S. because we are a year and months later and we haven't sold anything. But when you will see their faces, they're like happy. Oh, baby, ¿cómo te va? And this. I'm like, no va. There's nothing. Nothing's going on. But here I am trying. When I set up that opening day ceremony, and like I said, when I start seeing the amount of people coming and asking questions about the glove and the amount of gloves that we sold, and I left and I had so much fun doing it and everything. I know for the year and 3 months, I had a job. I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I needed to be at the warehouse at 5 a.m. What got me up was just looking over and watching my son. I will watch him. He's relaxing and everything. I said, well, I brought him in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to go out there and kick butt for him. Get up, párate, y órale. Párate a trabajar.
No negotiation.
You got to maintain your family.
Yeah.
So you were 21 at that age, at that time? Around
22.
What year was that?
98. My son was born, so okay. 99.
So 99. I want you to tell us about the time. How did the team from Hawaii get those gloves when they were 10, I think?
My first sales rep.
How many years later?
my son would have probably been, I would say probably about 9, 10 years later.
So 10 years later. And during these 10 years, how many gloves roughly were you selling maybe per year or per month?
I kept working, doing my job, what I was doing, delivering beer and stuff like that. And I would say a month, we probably sold 50.
Which was a lot.
It's a lot, but not enough to
pay the bills.
No,
it was not allowed to pay the bills.
It only rotated back.
You still had to keep your.
It was going.
Well, I was still working.
It was rotating, so it was basically all the money he was generating had to go right back into the business to generate more.
So when I would be done at 2:00 p.m. at the warehouse where I was working delivering beer, I had blue shorts. That's the apparel. I would just take the shirt off that said the beer company, and I would put a Soto shirt.
Soto shirt.
Walked out with that, and as I'm driving home, I would see lights on, and I would pull in. And I see coaches, I start passing my info. Then I would drive more to get home, and I see another light. I would pull in, pass out cards. They probably would throw them away. And then I got home. And I would do that every day. I would take different streets, home, different main streets. So that way I get to see different lights, different parks, different
areas. Wow.
This was right after work. So once I would do that, it was not work.
Talk about discipline, because for a year, 3 months, you didn't make much. You didn't make anything.
Nothing.
The phone barely rang, and one call was cops, right?
Yeah.
And then you start making money, but all the money you're making, right, it goes right back into the business. So you're really not making anything.
Nothing, because the only money I was making was working,
right,
and I was paying the bills.
Right. And your dream is still alive.
It's still going.
You know what I mean? It's still going. You're like, you keep on believing in yourself and in your brand and in your philosophy, right?
Yes.
You know,
after his 8 hours of working a regular job,
right,
he was inspired to go and find business for his business.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look at our realtors.
Right. You got to get out of your comfort zone.
Right.
It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you had to do it because you knew it was part of what you had to do if you want to see this thing grow.
Right. How many years did you put into this work till you start making a dollar? Like, okay, now I'm making something. It might not have been a lot, but
I would say when we walked in and we said about the Hawaiian team.
And that was 11 years later.
Yes. I didn't stop. From the first years that it was making, basically rotating the money just back in and out, buying a new sewing machine, buying new colors, buying new stuff. So it wasn't three color option. Theo, can we get this color? Like, we're in Dodger Town. Can we get royal blue? Let me ask the tanning place. Well, that royal blue opened up another market, opened up Dodger fans. And then the red opened up another market. Damn. Now we have 40-something colors available.
40-something.
So you could do, out of 40 colors available, how many combinations can you do? Many combinations. Kids come in and they design a glove with me with a combination. I'll be like, I keep it to myself. I'm like, that is the ugliest glove ever in my life. When it comes and it's done, wow.
Right.
That was beautiful.
It's a work of art.
So then what we do is we copy that kid's idea and then we put some on the wall and they sell.
Yeah.
Because that kid created something that I thought was going to be the worst combination ever. It became a really good combination.
Trending.
Yes, trending. Baby blue pink is the trending color right now that is big in baseball, softball.
Let me ask you this, because at this point, you're basically slanging gloves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're out there, there's other people that are slanging drugs and stuff. You're out here slanging gloves.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You got to meet in the McDonald's.
And we did. I took 3 orders there.
Right?
Yes.
And you took it all there and you kept your vision and your dream alive for almost 11 years without getting a dollar.
No.
Right? During those 10, 11 years, I mean, you had to be a master of seeing in the darkness. And what I mean by that is you're seeing your vision, even though for 10 years plus, you have not made a cent.
No.
Right? You're still seeing through all that. You're seeing your vision, light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
What kept you going through all that? Because that's a decade.
That's 10 years, bro.
I guess it's just the passion, the love for the sport. It's what makes you happy. Like for me, that what makes me happy is it's the sport. Not only that, it's when now you start seeing people come and they're so happy that they grab your glove and it says your last name on it. So that's what takes you and it keeps you going when the parents and the kids go, I love my glove, dad. And So then when you hear that come out of a kid's mouth, or the parents text you an image of their kid holding the glove, and then they send you a text saying, thank you very much, we love the glove, thank you, that's what keeps you going.
So,
and it doesn't allow you to stop. So it's almost like they feel you. They feel you energy and be like, at the moment you feel like you're going down, then they fill you up, and then they keep you going. They keep you going until if you are patient enough and just understand that you have to learn how to be patient and just stride and push. Stride and push and be patient. Eventually, it's like I tell some of my guys, you got to wait for that one door. When that big door opens, that's your opportunity. Don't think about it. Jump in it. But what about if it doesn't give? Then you have to take a chance. Let me tell you why. Because this gentleman right here, Reggie Armistead, he told me about this opportunity. I don't want to spend $3,000 in something I'm not going to get back. He says, but you got to trust me. You got to do it. And I'm like, all right, Reggie, let's do it. So you have to be able to say, you know what? I'm going to take a chance and wish for the best, stay positive, and something will give.
So
it will give.
So you had that blind faith.
Right.
You got to.
This has to happen.
Right. Yeah.
And just keep going, believing
right.
any day now it could happen.
Yeah. See, that appreciation was his, he was monetizing basically that appreciation people were having for his art, for yeah. his work. Right. So imagine just living on appreciation for 10 years plus and you have a family and you're still delivering beer.
Still delivering
beer yeah. at the moment.
Yep. That's what paid the bills for
so,
10 years.
Wow. Tell us about that Hawaiian team and how they first
that
got your
big,
gloves.
That was your
that
big
was moment. The big change.
So I didn't have any sales reps because okay. there's no money.
Right.
To,
Before
right?
we go there. Right. I want to get this right. You don't have any sales background, do you?
No. So
and business background?
No. No.
And how about as far as education? You went to high school?
Two years of college playing ball.
Right.
And then decided to play ball and work.
Right. And these are all skills you had to develop as you go.
So when you come to like a business license, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah. What the hell was it?
A business permit? No. Open up an account with your business name.
You need a permit as well? Not just the license. You need a permit as well?
Everything. And I learned it all as I went along. The first person that ever asked me for that was this gentleman that bought the two gloves.
Wow.
My first set of business cards, I went to Office Depot or Staples. I don't remember. I bought the box where they're already pre-cut out. Put them in my printer. I follow the steps. Those were my business cards.
And you
carve them,
tear them out.
Yeah,
I would tear them off, and those were the cards I had to start.
And they worked.
What was my order for? It was very simple because we only had three colors, not that many options. But at least people felt more comfortable. Now I had an order for them. But everything was in steps, like banners and just table covers and everything. Now that we could set up a place that we look competitive to the big boys now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We look competitive to them. And that's why people will say, you know what? Let's go check out these guys. They smell the leather and say, this smells real. So that's what keeps us going.
Yeah. Right. Right.
But we're taking steps at a time. Haven't grown from nothing
that,
to.
Yeah.
No.
These are things that, I mean, you don't have any sales background. So now you have to develop sales.
Everything.
Right. And now you basically worked all the way to your big point, which is what Benny's bringing up, which is that Hawaiian.
Yes.
Right.
So I don't have any sales reps at that time. And I'm mm-hmm. getting to that part because I got to start with this. The first gentleman that comes up to me and says, hey, I could help you with sales. Are you hiring? I'm like, no, there's no money to.
I can't pay.
Damn, that's badass, man. Imagine you have this business and then you have your first sales guy be like.
So I had to figure out how much I was selling the glove, how much it was costing us, and how much I could give him for him to be excited to sell these gloves.
Yes.
So I had to figure that out. It's like cutting a pie equally balanced to where everybody's happy. If I'm a rep and I'm only going to make $20 off selling this glove, would I want to do that? No.
No.
But if I'm making this much, would I be happy making that money and want to sell gloves for this guy? Yes. So that's what I did. I broke it down. His name is Jose Garcia. He is the third generation also. He's been with me since day one.
Wow.
The gentleman is still alive. He lives right here in Anaheim. His son, that who originally he bought a glove for, he was 10 years old at that time, Paquito, same as his dad, became a second rep for me.
Wow.
Now it's his son, his name Julian Garcia. And they all three sell. What happened is Paco, the son, was in Chino Hills, where they had the, you know, World Series for the 10-year-olds. That's where he met the Hawaiian team. The coach approached them. He calls me. I don't know where I was at that point. He says, "Hey, Soto, what can we do for this coach? It's the team Hawaii from Hawaii. They're 10 years old." I says, "You know what? Give them this price, and you'll still be making this. I'll reduce my price. You could reduce yours, and then they'll buy in for the whole team.
Make it work."
So we had to make it work. The coach bought gloves for every single kid, including the coaches. The same 10-year-old team in 2 years, where it really matters, is the 12U team. That's when it matters. That's when
it becomes, they're on TV now.
That's exactly it. It's when they're on TV. It's when it really matters there, nationwide. Here's this team winning and winning and winning. I don't know where I was. Just turn on the TV, channel so-and-so. So here I am, and I see the Little League World Series, but I see Team Hawaiian. And then I'm like, look at their gloves. And I'm looking. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. How'd they get those? Remember when they were 10?
It was that team. Wow. They were on TV with his gloves.
When they won the World Series.
Wow. Like they won it, bro.
They won the whole thing. The phone for 3 months would not stop ringing. They blew us up. So I told Paco, let's find a way to get a hold of that coach's name, like however we can. We found him.
Uh-huh.
I called him up and I says, "Can I make new gloves for your whole team, your coaching staff, free?" "What? No. "Yes, please. You don't know what you've done for us. I just want to give them back. I can't give you much more, but I'd like to give them a glove." And then I put the little World Series thing on it for them and their name.
Ooh.
They all came to the building, to the office here. I was renting an office, and they all came, and it was just an amazing thing. Wow. That's how it took off. I started, from that point.
3.5 months, phones nonstop. And so imagine then you had to hire people.
Wait. Yes. How was it when the phone started ringing? How many people did you have in staff?
Just me and my wife.
And you guys were the ones picking up the phones?
That's it. I mean, and they were going off in cell phones and emails. And here we are just trying to call everybody back. "Hey, how do I get a glove from you guys? Where are you located? Blah, blah, here, there." From a little single office, we had to make it grow to the next office. Then we had to hire one more person. And then ever since that point, it's now we have basically reps throughout the U.S. now.
How many reps?
30 reps right now. We have people like in Texas and Florida, Pennsylvania, Nevada, California for sure, Arizona. So places like
that. Production is still in Zacatecas, Mexico.
Still there.
And now you're producing how many gloves a week? Listen to this.
Between 800 to 1,200 a week.
A week?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had to section everything off. These gloves are considered, people think it's custom. It is to people that walk into the office, but this is what we call a stock item, even though it looks custom. But custom means they get to pick and design and embroider names and do anything they want to the gloves so that it's personal to them. Mm-hmm. So we have a section for custom and a section for stock.
Wow.
Got you. At this point, you guys produce these so much that now they're just stock.
We got to have them in stock.
Right, because they just sell out.
Yeah, we have a gentleman buyer from Ohio, Tim Shepard. He'll call in, tell me, text me everything you have in soft buy, text him everything. He'll pick out 10, 15, 20 gloves, put them in a box, charge my card, send them. That's
just send them.
Easy stuff, man. But all of that, it all pays back when you're patient, when you keep pushing.
Right.
And eventually.
How many years in the making? Sorry to cut you off there, but how many years in the making? Because it started with your grandfather, right?
Yeah.
And obviously he was blessed by your grandmother who never let him stop. Like, "Hey, I know you're used to making this, but now it's that." And she kept on pushing him, right?
Yeah.
How many years from that till the Hawaii thing happened?
So from the Hawaii to what?
To
when it started.
When it started, yeah.
Well, my grandfather's, everything is supposed to be around 65 years now. So I've been in it for 30 years. So I would say maybe 20 years ago.
So 20 years. So from the moment that your grandfather started selling his first club.
It was 30 first years club. Ago. Yeah, about 30 to 35 years. So approximately.
That's a dream you kept alive.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? Alive, man. That's alive. A big accomplishment, man.
Probably about 30, 35 years around right. there now. Yeah.
That's interesting to know because here you have your grandpa in Zacatecas, right?
Yeah.
Building his first club. They were just out there, not really making it big out here, not at all, right?
Nothing.
To the moment it came to you, right? And then you made it in Hawaii. That's about 30 to 35 years, you're saying, right?
So from when I got my first glove from my grandfather to that point, it was probably about 15 years.
Yes. And then another, 30.
And another, about 30 years, I say.
About 30 years.
Yeah, about 30 years.
Talk about keeping a dream alive for that much.
Right? Yeah. Right now, as we speak now, I would say back in the days, maybe about 7 years ago, 7, 8 years ago, around there when Reggie told me to, you know, fly out and do that expo. We would fly out like
you,
once a year. Uh-huh. Oh, how was the experience?
Yeah.
It was scary. Because you sit here with a table this size and the competitors, they're humongous. They have everything. It's beautiful the way they set up their stuff. But again, the money's there. They have many investors. In our family, it's just the Soto family investors. There's nobody else. Nobody else could come in and say, I'm part of the Soto family and I decided to do this. It's just us. We've mm-hmm. done it all, just us. We don't have other investors. They probably have many.
Yep.
So when you go and set up and now you see all these big-time coaches coming by from UCLA, USC, you name it, Stanford, everybody's walking in front of you. And then they just look at you and walk away. And then they go over there. And then the people that do stop and ask questions, they go. And then they go and then come back. And then all of a sudden, here we are flying back from Texas. Me and Reggie are talking. And I'm like, what do you think? I said, hey, there was a lot of interest. But we'll see what happens. Let's just sit and wait. We had a lot of business cards. We wrote down a lot of info. We had little things now that they write their name and an email. Yeah, a little sign-in sheet, but it's like little tabs. And so I said, Reggie, here you go, buddy. Get it done. So here he is on a laptop, starts emailing people. All of a sudden, one team, another team, another team, another team. Now we had, what, 6 teams that one time. So we made our money back. In May and more.
Wow.
We go back to second year. Now we have 10 teams calling us, then 15 and so on. Now, as of right now, we probably are going to be flying out 8 times a year instead of maybe one time a year 7, 8 years ago.
And now your setup is bigger.
A lot bigger. A lot bigger and better. But we still have to stay customer service. That cannot change. People say, is it all right if I give your cell phone number? That's the only way they're going to get a hold of me? Yes.
Yeah.
People call me. I'm sorry I call you so early. Where are you from? Florida. You're already basically going to sleep. We're barely waking up. Mm-hmm. So, call me. So you got to stay open-minded. And when you run a business, it's like I told my dad, I says, look, Dad, when you own a business, it goes with you wherever you go. And when you clock in and clock out, you clock in and you clock out.
Yes.
Oh.
But you don't do that as a business. So you're home and you're thinking about
what to do next.
Right.
Yes. And it's like I tell my dad, I says, people in the East Coast, they're 3 hours ahead of us. So when it's 6 at 9 a.m., they're selling the glove already.
Right.
So you got to like answer their question and everything. This is your business. You want it to grow. This is what feeds the family. This is everything. Well, then you have to.
That's the price of doing business in the East Coast, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Wow.
Throughout this whole 30 years, you're still married?
Yes.
Got it. How important was that relationship with your wife and how supportive has she been throughout this whole journey?
At the beginning, it was rough. I'm not going to lie. And she doesn't mind if I say that because I did something at one point that was not a good decision. I had $1,800 to pay my rent for that one bedroom apartment. And so here I am wanting to invest more money to have more gloves, more options, you know?
Yeah.
And Dios mío.
No worries, man. We know you're a busy man.
Yeah, but let me just turn this thing off. I should have. There you go. So $1,800 to pay that that one bedroom apartment. And well, I needed more gloves to show. I needed more inventory, right? I said, Abuelito, Grandpa, here you go. Boom. I sent him the $1,800, expecting that I was going to work more delivering beer and I would still be fine to make the...
to cover the rent.
That didn't happen like that. So I didn't tell her. I invested the $1,800. Here we call the lease lady that lived in the same property. Your rent is due and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get the money in 5 days. So here I am making excuses. 5 days went by. Now they charge you a late fee.
Yep.
And now we're arguing. I mean, she had the right. I didn't tell her. I just went for it. Now I got all these gloves. And like I said, a year and a half, year and 3 months, we can't sell one of them. I ended up asking my parents for a loan. My mom said, "Thing, amigo, I paid that rent." Then slowly I paid my mom back. So at the beginning, it was like she was done way before me. We were, once I did that, it started an argument thing of like, why didn't I tell her? And it was my fault. I know that it was my fault. And she says, ya deja. Just focus with work. I'll focus with my work. Leave that alone. It's not going to happen. Yeah, we've been doing it for so long. You haven't. So it continues arguments.
Wow.
So that was already a pressure I felt, plus the pressure of letting my grandfather down and the family.
Yeah.
And how did you work through that, man? Because I, including myself, right? I was in a relationship for, I was married for 10 years, and I've always been a dreamer, right? And my ex-spouse, she's been the one that, She has a reason why things won't work out for every one of your solutions. You know what I mean? So every time I say something positive, she has something negative to say about it, right? And she don't kind of fixed minded, likes to keep things like very straightforward, right? And I've been the one that is always trying to push and push and push.
Find a way,
right? And so didn't work out, right? We have three beautiful daughters. We get along good now. But there's a lot of people out there that actually didn't make it, right?
No.
You still stuck through that, even though at one point or another, that was pressure enough for you to be like, you know what? I see my wife. I have a kid. I haven't paid the rent. Maybe I should stop it with these damn dreams. You know what I mean? But you kept on going. How'd you work through that?
It is very tough, I'll tell you. But eventually, when you start seeing results little at a time, and you're excited to do things and you talk and you figure things out. At the end of the day, now we talk about things like that. And it's like, it's so much easier now when they call us and they just tell us they want this. We just pull it off the wall, stick it in a box and ship.
Yeah.
So much easier.
Yeah.
Yes. But so much more relaxing too.
Wow.
Did the dynamic between you and your wife change from back then to like now?
Oh, it changes dramatically. Definitely. Definitely. And you get to see what you've done from nothing to something.
Right. But she's stuck with it. She's stuck with you. Right.
Yep. Baseball with my son, baseball with the softball with our two daughters. My son is already working in the medical field. My two daughters are living in Texas doing the medical thing too. So everything is going along as it goes. So yeah, things line up.
Wow.
Things line up.
So now, you're doing well.
Yes, definitely.
What's next for Soto Gloves?
Well, right now, we were just talking to a gentleman that he's from Texas, Mark Lozano. I met him 3 years ago at an expo.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that his dream was to open up a training facility everywhere in Texas.
Okay.
With Soto Gloves in it. But I never imagined that their plan was that every training facility will be called Soto Gloves Training Facility. I'm not investing anything in that, but they just want to name it.
They like the name.
They like the name. And yeah, I met, over the phone call, I met two people that are, you know, very much into baseball. And something like that is like a great opportunity. They've seen our product. They met us in person down in Texas. They like the way they hear things. They read up on us. They like everything. So far, you know, it's going in the right direction. So that's the next step.
Got you. Wow. Now, our podcast is No Quitters, right? And yeah. We've seen that your faith was tested, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever think about maybe just this ain't for me. It's time to just call it quits. Did that ever cross your mind besides that one point you were driving down that hill? With...
The second time was COVID.
COVID.
COVID was the second time.
And that was a slapper. Like it was,
it was bad because down where in Long Beach Signal Hill, the health department would come to your building. They would do the flashlight. They see anybody working in there. Our neighbors got two fines for $1,000 each. They had to pay two fines for $1,000 each. So when I saw what happened to him, I started putting black curtains, and I would literally myself would only go to work Mondays and Fridays for 3 hours a day. We're not talking every day now. We're talking Mondays and Fridays, 3 hours a day.
Wow.
Everything I did was from home.
Wow.
Everything was on the website, through email, through phone calls, through text messages.
How many employees did you have at this point during COVID?
60.
60 employees.
And they dropped to 30 in a heartbeat.
And they were shut down too.
Everybody was, except for the East Coast. Like I said, I flew to Chicago with me and my sales manager. We were there in Chicago, and it looked like there was no COVID around. Nobody had a face mask. Everybody was playing baseball at the park. The batting cages we went were full. They were excited for us to be there and sell them our product.
Fully open. While fully open. Shut down in California.
We're wearing a mask, and they're not wearing a mask. So Regis, let's take it off. So we took it off. Like we felt weird. That, yeah, like what are we doing? Back on the plane again. Here we go. Boom. California. Everybody had a mask on. Everything's closed. What's the difference, Reggie? What? Is the oxygen better over there? What's going on? Where
leadership.
Something was not right.
Wow.
So from 60 to 30 reps dropped down in a heartbeat. They needed to find something else. Something else to do. And I understand. I understand. I think you guys shouldn't leave, but if that's your decision, hey, no problem. I mean
everyone,
you got to make the best decision possible for your family.
Right. So, yeah. And everyone was kind of reacting. They didn't really know what to do. A lot of people still till this day, I still see them like they're still a little paranoid and a little awkward, you know, but that didn't stop you, right? And
no.
You thought about like just calling it quits, but what made you just not do it?
This is what I do for a living. This is my passion.
Identity.
This is me.
Yes.
So you just have to, I feel like, okay, let's just relax and hold on. Let's think about what we need to do and do the best we can. It's going to pass just like anything. Anything will pass. It'll pass. And it did. There it is. It passed. Like I said, in Mexico, they shut us down. I had to give them 10 bags of gloves. They would just drive through. We'll hand them. They would lower the window, put 10, they're go home. They would work on all these gloves at home. Next day, they drop off 10 made. Here's 10 more. Vámonos. They were still getting paid. So we kept it going.
Wow.
UPS never stopped. So we put them all in a box, shipped them out. When they would arrive to my office, I would wait for the UPS truck. It was from his truck to my house. Because we were not
big ups to UPS, man, for not stopping while everybody else was.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
If they would have stopped, then it would have definitely hurt us. Yeah. It would have definitely hurt us.
Now, if you were to go back and change something in the way you started and ran the business or in life, period, what would you do different?
Ooh. Well. I think the only thing was that if I had the resources, meaning the money, to do something different, then I wouldn't have been scared of doing it. I would have just been able to make decisions and said, invest money in this convention, do it. But if the resources weren't there, like there wasn't there, then I would have done exactly the same thing I did over again.
So you're saying with capital backing, this could have just... From the beginning,
it would have been quicker.
Has there never been someone that been like, hey, I'll invest something in you? Maybe you turned them down because you were afraid or?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Greg O'Solomon came to me before the 10 years, before the Hawaiian team, and came to me and did two proposals, one in Spanish and one in English. They were perfectly made. I mean, he invested the money. He did all the investigation on all the glove companies that were out there back then, like Keystone Glove, and most of those companies are not here anymore. They're gone.
Wow.
Only the big names are left. Only the four big names out of the 10 he had on the list, only four are still around. And those are still the big boys. And he says, what I want to buy from you is just anything sold online. So if any Soto product is sold online, I want to be the owner of that. Now, back in the day, the house I bought was $120,000, mm-hmm. right? He gives me a check for $100,000. In my mind, I'm like, I could just pay the house off and yeah. I just got to sell them SotoGloves.com, just whatever sells online, and the house is paid.
Little did you know, right?
right.
Mean, no one really knew about the internet back then. Like,
no. So everything was done through flyers, business cards, or somebody walking and attaching a rubber band to your
right.
door with advertisement, right?
Right.
And or the Yellow Pages was yeah. really big. Mm-hmm. But I had a $100,000 check. It says cash it. If it goes through, we'll come and sit down again. You sign paperwork. Anything from now and through Soto Gloves life, anything sold online would be mine. So I went over and spoke to my uncle, the main guy, mm-hmm. my tio Reynaldo. And he says, mijo, give him back the check. Now, I'm a kid.
He's already,
you're thinking it's 100,000.
I'm a kid, still a kid.
What year was that?
I would say 95, 96.
Yeah,
100,000.
Yeah.
Equal to what? 750,000 right now.
It would have paid off the house.
Yeah, because how much you bought for 120. The house is worth what? 900,000?
The cheapest one, and we're talking far away right now, half a million, far away. Banning, California, somewhere out there, they're probably like 500,000 maybe. Maybe.
At least.
At least. So I thought right away, like, I could pay my house with this, and I don't have a mortgage payment no more, right? Like, this is the best of the
blessing.
And I told my uncle Reynaldo, he says, mijo, just
give it back.
Give it back. And so I did. I never cashed it. I said, Mr. Gregor Salton, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. How much does it take? You give me the number. And I'm like, oh my God, don't say that again. Don't do that to me. Like, really?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I don't know how much it takes, to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I got to sit down and talk to my family about this. This is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's not just me. Well, who's the owner in the U.S.? Me. Then it's your decision. I said, yeah, but my decision would affect them too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I mean, if you feel comfortable sharing this, right?
Yep.
How much sales do you do online now per month?
Okay. So online, normally a year, we're doing team sales. Some teams do 30 gloves, 20 gloves, 15 gloves, 60 gloves. I haven't really
done crunch the numbers.
Not yet. But right now, the last number I saw was 4,000 something in this year.
So far?
So far.
This
year.
Glove sold online.
So every time there's an order number, it restarts for the year. And it's 0001.
Uh-huh.
Right now, it was at 41 something. The last invoice that was yesterday, one order that came in.
Wow.
So if you calculate all that, $100,000 would have been nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
He would have been making a lot of money.
A lot more.
A lot more.
So on
his idea was
online sales, you're going to probably do about anywhere from 12 to 1500 for the year, just online.
Yeah.
But most of your sales are reps.
Most of our sales right now, it's always been the reps. It's always been the reps, but the online is right there with them now.
Yep. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And it's
automatic. So it's like this. The majority of the people these days, you don't have to send a business card or a flyer anymore.
Mm-mm.
That doesn't work. That's throwing your money away and throwing paper away.
Right.
Everything, how you get to people these days is literally online.
Right. Now, and you're about to give that piece out for $100,000.
Yes. And that was back then, it was a lot. Now it's not.
Now you see it as a blessing.
Yes.
Were you pissed off at your uncle?
No. I was just kind of like, my hand was sweating when I had a $100,000 check in my hand at that age. But
jeez.
But no, I was never mad at them. They're the ones that basically opened the doors. And it was my grandfather that told my uncle Reynaldo, backing him up.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, back him up, back him up, back him up, back him up. And someday something good's going to happen. Now, he's not here to see it all. But
Reynaldo or your grandpa?
Grandpa and my uncle Reynaldo. But I know my uncle Reynaldo, his kids, that is my two boy cousins and two girl cousins,
mm-hmm.
they're the ones that run the whole show in Mexico, the two boys and two girls. And those are all four of his kids.
Right. Wow.
And we sit down, and all of a sudden my girl comes and start crying porque it comes to them because of my uncle.
Yeah.
Saying, if anybody, we're going to believe. And he told me, vamos a creer en ti. We're going to believe in you.
Wow.
And when he told me that, it's like another thing. How can I quit?
You can't.
How can you quit when your grandfather believed in you, then your main uncle believes in you, and all the family depends on you?
Right.
Yeah.
You can't quit.
No.
If you were able to see your uncle and tell him something, what would you tell him?
I would just hug my uncle and tell him thank you, because he never stopped believing in me. It's just the replica of my grandfather.
Yeah.
He's the replica of him. He was always a very helpful man. People will walk right in front of his house. He will see that they were thirsty. Get an agua. Pásenle. Wow. Give them water.
Very giving.
Always giving, always looking to help. I think that it's like my mom says, that transfers from one person to another. I believe I'm the same way. Sometimes being like that in a helpful way and trying to help your family, your friends, or whatever, not always do they pay you in the right way.
Some people are advantageous.
They take advantage. So it kind of like makes you like kind of shut down a little bit and be like, you know, I'm sorry, like, I can't help you right now, even though deep down you know you can't. But it's like now you're protecting yourself and your family.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things.
Wow.
Wow, man.
You know, Soto Gloves has been taking advantage. We have had, I don't know how many people have come to that office and, where do you get your leather from? Where do you get this? Where do you get that? And I tell them, I'm sorry.
Oh, you got to be careful.
The only thing I'm going to tell you, with all respect, is, we're never going to reveal to you anything of that.
Yeah, of course.
If you want to start your business, honestly, you know what feels better? It says, what is that? You started on your own from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got something good to say. But don't try to start something from somebody and then
weasel your way.
You can't do that.
Right.
Start from the bottom, build yourself up. And when you're there, then now people will be like, hey, how did you get there? Tell them. But at least you can't be making things up or lying about things.
Right.
You started from the bottom, build yourself up. That's all.
Absolutely.
Wow. I mean, this has been a dream. I mean, 30 plus years in the making, right?
Yes.
What would you say if you had an opportunity to talk to our audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are out there trying to start their business. Things are not going the way they want to or they hope for, right? What would you tell someone that is starting the business that is not seeing light at the end of the tunnel, right? From your perspective,
I will say that you got to believe in your product. You got to believe in yourself. You got to love what you do. So if you love what you do, you believe in yourself, and you believe in your product, don't stop. Just stride and be patient. Eventually, the doors will open. I kept telling that to all the people around me. Be patient. Don't you want to be in the Major League Baseball? Of course I do. Don't you want to be inside Dick's Sporting Goods? Yeah, of course. Well, how come we're not there yet? Because it's not our time. But we're not doing bad. It's just that time will come.
Of course.
And then you get gentlemen that you never met in your whole entire life, like Mr. Russell from Florida. Never met this gentleman. He's in Florida. We're in California. It's a 6-hour flight. I would have never met him even if I tried to meet him one day.
Right.
Yeah. How many Russells are out there?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I, like I said, I'm a true believer of God. He put him in front of my table at the right time, the right moment. And it's what they say, big doors open up one time and you got to be ready to jump in. Just be ready to jump in. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Like I said, you got to believe in yourself, your product, be patient, believe in God, go forward, give it all you got. You're going to have competitors. You're going to have people that envy you, people that want to attack you, people that want to talk bad about you, because we have had all of that. And people tell me, why do you stay so calm? Because I got to worry about myself and not about them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to talk bad. I don't know if you notice. Throughout right now, I haven't mentioned one big name brand. I just say the big name brands. I don't mention their names because then that's telling people I'm afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not worried about them. I'm more afraid of my failure or me than if I'm not doing the right thing, but I'm not afraid of them. Yeah. If I got my own people, I got, if there's a million people, there's probably 300,000 of those people that are going to want to be with Soto Gloves. I can't say all 1 million people want to be with us. No, that's not true. But the 300,000 people that are with me are the ones I'm going to take care of. And I'm going to take care of them because they're my customers. They're the ones putting money in our pocket so that we could pay our bills, our food, and our everything. And it's like I told my youngest daughter, we're sitting at a Denny's. How come she's taking so long? I said, shh, shh, uh-uh, don't say that. Oops, why, Dad? Do you know what she's going through? Do you see how full the restaurant is? Do you like when they call Dad and people are mad, even if they're not in the right?
Yeah.
I told them 6 weeks and it's only been 4 weeks, but they want their stuff now and they're mad.
Yeah.
Got to learn how to be patient. Those are the people that buy the stuff from us are the ones that are giving us the money so we could eat food here. We're at Danny's right now.
Yeah.
Okay, Dad. Never again does she say anything. So just got to be patient.
Absolutely. Now, I heard on one of the interviews that you did that you give your gloves a warranty.
Lifetime warranty.
You put a piece of paper in every box. Tell us what that paper says.
So the majority of all the big companies, and including Soto, anybody that builds a glove, nobody's left out of this. The laces, the webbing, the hinges, the padding, adjustments, Velcro straps, they break.
Yeah.
After use of having a new car for 5, 10 years, something's going to break.
Yeah.
Same thing with a glove. After a use of 3, 4, 5, 6 years, depending on how well you take it, something's going to break. With us, the warranty is Soto. That paper says that if you have a Soto glove, we put it in every glove bag and we put your glove in that glove bag with a warranty paper and say, anything fall apart, fill the paperwork out, circle what fell apart, ship it to us. We get it. We receive it. Hey, we have your glove. We see what's wrong. We fix it. We ship it the same day.
The same day.
The same day.
They believe in their product so much that we'll fix it. Don't worry about it. We got
your
back.
I've never heard anybody else do that kind of guarantee.
You can have a glove for life.
If you take care of it well enough, yeah. My kids, I could have built a glove for them, a new glove every year. There's no point.
Right.
They only have 5 gloves through their whole entire softball career, finishing university ball, my daughters. They played together at Texas University and they only had 5 gloves throughout their whole entire life. And I have them hanging from when they started at 9 years old till they graduated university.
College.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't need a glove unless they're playing different positions. That changes everything. But
of course.
If they're playing the same positions, 5 gloves is all they needed. And those are the only ones they had. They kept the last one. They don't want to give it to me. Eventually, I'll get it and hang it on my wall. But I know I got the first 4 of all of them.
Wow.
Yeah, but they are... I got to come out with the best stuff. So if the sheet of leather, I know that it's going to cost me a little less to get secondary. I can't do that. People have to understand, Soto is not like the big boys. We're not there yet, you know? We're still striding.
Right.
One step at a time. I'm not trying to climb.
You're not going to get there by cutting corners and cutting quality in your product.
No.
You're going to get there doing things right.
If I cut any corners and things start falling apart, they're going to cut us.
Yeah, that's done.
We're done. So you got to come out with the best, your best product, your best everything, whatever you do in any business you do. Come out with your best to compete against the best, to give yourself that equal chance to be competitive with them. They're selling their stuff for much more. It's okay. But people will notice the difference, be like, wait a minute, I could save a little, but I got still a great quality product. And I get to pick and choose and do anything I want with this product. So, and then the backing. The backing is very important. You back up your product.
Wow. That's huge. That glove has his family's legacy on every glove that's being worn. He has to stand by that.
You got to stand by it. It's your last name.
Right? It's right there. And there's no corners being cut, right? And then talk about the warranty, man. I don't see nobody else offering that kind of warranty with the delivery that you do, right?
No,
man. It's been a great story. I love hearing your story. How you guys made it. How you made it throughout these years without getting a dime. How you keep that dream alive. right? It was a total pleasure interviewing you, man.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's been an honor and amazing hearing your story and what you believe in and what you stand for. Thank you for coming. Please tell our listeners where they can find you on social media, on Instagram, your website. This is your opportunity.
Thank you. So we do have a website. It's called SotoGloves.com. Our email is sotoglove7@gmail.com. And yes, we do have Instagram, Facebook, all the social medias are available. If you look them up, you will find Manny. They're all connected. All the sales staff, all the reps are all connected. You lock into one of them, they lock into all of us. So we're all there. Our main office is in Signal Hill, California. It's called On Deck Batting Cages and Soto Gloves. When you walk in there, the whole front end is Soto Gloves, and you will always find us there ready to help you. And it's in Signal Hill, California, 2499 East Willow Street, Signal Hill, California, 90755. Thank you.
There you have it, guys. And don't forget, No Quitters is on all platforms. You can on Apple, on YouTube. We're on all platforms. Watch it there.
Absolutely. Hopefully you guys got inspired by this story. Listen to more stories like this. This one was really unique. But if you're looking for some motivation, you're looking for a way to get inspired, listen to our No Quitters podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you.